Today is the 25th day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome to a shiny, sparkly, brand new week that we get to walk into together. And it's a brand new week, so it's a fresh start. And let's begin this week by laying a foundation, by allowing the scriptures to come into our lives as we take the next step forward. And that next step will lead us back into the book of 2 Kings. And we are navigating through 2 Kings at this point. And really learning quite a bit about the prophet Elisha as we move through the territory. So, brand new week, we'll read from the New English Translation, the NET Bible this week. 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 1 through 9, verse 13. Now Elisha advised the woman whose son he had brought back to life, "You and your family should go and live somewhere else for a while, for the Lord has decreed that a famine will overtake the land for 7 years. So the woman did as the prophet said. She and her family went and lived in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. After 7 years, the woman returned from the land of the Philistines and went to ask the king to give her back her house and field. Now the king was talking to Gehazi, the prophet's servant, and said, "Tell me all the great things that Elisha has done." While Gehazi was telling the king how Elisha had brought the dead back to life, the woman whose son he had brought back to life came to ask the king for her house and field. Gehazi said, "My master, O king, this is the very woman, and this is her son whom Elisha brought back to life." The king asked the woman about it, and she gave him the details. The king assigned a eunuch to take care of her request and ordered him, "Give her back everything she owns, as well as the amount of crops her field produced from the day she left the land until now." Elisha traveled to Damascus while King Ben-Hadad of Syria was sick. The king was told, "The prophet has come here." So the king told Hazael, "Take a gift and go visit the prophet. Request from him an oracle from the Lord. Ask him, 'Will I recover from this sickness?'" So Hazael went to visit Elisha. He took along a gift as well as 40 camel loads of all the fine things of Damascus. When he arrived, he stood before him and said, "Your son, King Ben-Hadad of Syria, has sent me to you with this question. Will I recover from this sickness?" Elisha said to him, "Go and tell him, 'You will surely recover. But the Lord has revealed to me that he will surely die.'" Elisha just stared at him until Hazael became uncomfortable. Then the prophet started crying. Hazael asked, "Why are you crying, my master?" He replied, "Because I know the trouble you will cause the Israelites. You will set fire to their fortresses, kill their young men with the sword, smash their children to bits, and rip open their pregnant women." Hazael said, "How could your servant, who is as insignificant as a dog, accomplish this great military victory?" Elisha answered, "The Lord has revealed to me that you will be the king of Syria." He left Elisha and went to his master. Ben-Hadad asked him, "What did Elisha tell you?" Hazael replied, "He told me you would surely recover." The next day, Hazael took a piece of cloth, dipped it in water, and spread it over Ben-Hadad's face until he died. Then Hazael replaced him as king. In the 5th year of the reign of Israel's king, Joram, son of Ahab, Jehoshaphat's son Jehoram became king over Judah. He was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 8 years in Jerusalem. He followed in the footsteps of the kings of Israel, just as Ahab's dynasty had done, for he married Ahab's daughter. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, But the Lord was unwilling to destroy Judah. He preserved Judah for the sake of his servant David, to whom he had promised a perpetual dynasty. During his reign, Edom freed themselves from Judah's control and set up their own king. Jehoram crossed over to Zaire with all his chariots. The Edomites who had surrounded him attacked at night and defeated him and his chariot officers. The Israelite army retreated to their homeland. So Edom has remained free from Judah's control to this very day. At that same time, Libna also rebelled. The rest of the events of Jehoram's reign, including a record of his accomplishments, are recorded in the scroll called the Annals of the Kings of Judah. Jehoram passed away and was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. His son Ahaziah replaced him as king. In the 12th year of the reign of Israel's king, Joram, son of Ahab, Jehoram's son Ahaziah became king over Judah. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother was Athaliah, the granddaughter of King Omri of Israel. He followed in the footsteps of Ahab's dynasty and did evil in the sight of the Lord, as Ahab's dynasty had done, for he was related to Ahab's family. He joined Ahab's son Joram in a battle against King Hazael of Syria at Ramoth Gilead, in which the Syrians defeated Joram. King Joram returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds he received from the Syrians in Ramah when he fought against King Hazael of Syria. King Ahaziah, son of Jehoram of Judah, went down to visit Joram, son of Ahab, in Jezreel, for he was ill. Now Elisha the prophet summoned a member of the prophetic guild and told him, "Tuck your robes into your belt, take this container of olive oil in your hand, and go to Ramoth Gilead. When you arrive there, look for Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat, son of Nimshi, and take him aside into an inner room. Take the container of olive oil, pour it over his head and say, 'This is what the Lord has said. I have designated you as king over Israel.' Then open the door and run away quickly." So the young prophet went to Ramoth Gilead. When he arrived, the officers of the army were sitting there. So he said, "I have a message for you, O officer." Jehu asked, "For which one of us?" He replied, "For you, O officer." So Jehu got up and went inside. Then the prophet poured the olive oil on his head and said to him, "This is what the Lord God of Israel has said. I have designated you as king over the Lord's people, Israel. You will destroy the family of your master Ahab. I will get revenge against Jezebel for the shed blood of my servants, the prophets, and for the shed blood of all the Lord's servants. Ahab's entire family will die. I will cut off every last male belonging to Ahab in Israel, including even the weak and incapacitated. I will make Ahab's dynasty like those of Jeroboam son of Nebat and Baasha son of Ahijah. Dogs will devour Jezebel on the plot of ground in Jezreel. She will not be buried." Then he opened the door and ran away. When Jehu rejoined his master's servants, they asked him, "Is everything all right? Why did this madman visit you?" He replied, "It's not important. You know what kind of man he is and the kinds of things he says." But they said, "You're lying. Tell us what he said." So he told them what he had said. He also related how he had said, "This is what the Lord has said. I have designated you as king over Israel." Each of them quickly took off his cloak, and they spread them out at Jehu's feet on the steps. A trumpet was blown, and they shouted, "Jehu is king!" Acts 16, 16 through 40. Now, as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl met us who had a spirit that enabled her to foretell the future by supernatural means. She brought her owners a great profit by fortune-telling. She followed behind Paul and us and kept crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." She continued to do this for many days, but Paul became greatly annoyed and turned and said to the spirit, "I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." And it came out of her at once. But when her owners saw their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us to accept or practice, since we are Romans." The crowd joined the attack against them, and the magistrates tore the clothes off Paul and Silas and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had beaten them severely, they threw them into prison and commanded the jailer to guard them securely. Receiving such orders, he threw them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the rest of the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, a great earthquake occurred, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately, all the doors flew open, and the bonds of all the prisoners came loose. When the jailer woke up and saw the doors of the prison standing open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he assumed the prisoners had escaped. But Paul called out loudly, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." Calling for lights, the jailer rushed in and fell down, trembling at the feet of Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, along with all those who were in his house. At that hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and all his family were baptized right away. The jailer brought them into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced greatly that he had come to believe in God, together with his entire household. At daybreak, the magistrates sent their police officers, saying, "Release those men." The jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent orders to release you, so come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to the police officers, "They had us beaten in public without a proper trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and they threw us in prison, and now they want to send us away secretly? Absolutely not. They themselves must come and escort us out." The police officers reported these words to the magistrates. They were frightened when they heard Paul and Silas were Roman citizens and came and apologized to them. After they brought them out, they asked them repeatedly to leave the city. When they came out of the prison, they entered Lydia's house, and when they saw the brothers, they encouraged them and then departed. Psalm 143, a Psalm of David. O Lord, hear my prayer. Pay attention to my plea for help. Because of your faithfulness and justice, answer me. Do not sit in judgment on your servant, for no one alive is innocent before you. Certainly my enemies chase me. They smash me into the ground. They force me to live in dark regions like those who have been dead for ages. My strength leaves me. I am absolutely shocked. I recall the old days. I meditate on all you have done. I reflect on your accomplishments. I spread my hands out to you in prayer. My soul thirsts for you in a parched land, Selah. Answer me quickly, Lord. My strength is fading. Do not reject me, or I will join those descending into the grave. May I hear about your loyal love in the morning, for I trust in you. Show me the way I should go, because I long for you. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord. I run to you for protection. Teach me to do what pleases you, for you are my God. May your kind presence lead me into a level land. O Lord, for the sake of your reputation, revive me. Because of your justice, rescue me from trouble. As a demonstration of your loyal love, destroy my enemies. Annihilate all who threaten my life, for I am your servant. Proverbs 17:26. It is terrible to punish a righteous person, and to flog honorable men is wrong. Father, we love you. We adore you. We worship you. We declare our loyalty to you, and we thank you for bringing us into this brand new week. And we ask, Holy Spirit, come into all of the events, all of the thoughts, words, and deeds of our existence over the course of this week. Hover in all of it. Be in our words. Be in our thoughts. Lead us on the narrow path that leads to life. Lead us into all truth. Lead us deeper into Jesus, we ask, in his precious name. Amen.
Hi, this is my first time calling in. This is Exiled in Georgia. I've been here for 13 years and I'm by myself now, and I just want to move back home to Louisiana to be near my daughters and my grandchildren. I have 7 grandchildren there. I have been through so much in my life. I've always trusted in the Lord. I've always been a believer. I have gone my own way lots of times that led me to where I am now. But I'm just asking for prayer. I need to sell my home, and it's taking a little bit. I don't know why, but God has his reasons, and I know that. But I do want to go home and be near them. I just turned 56 June 9th, and I'm just ready. I live on Social Security disability, and I work a part-time job. And I have a son that lives in Michigan with his little family. So I have 3 grandchildren up there. But I just really want prayer, and I want God to really lead me into doing what I need to do. You know, this, because I'm alone, I don't have anyone to bounce anything off of. And, I need this, prayer family, and I really, really appreciate. I've been listening to y'all for a while now. I'm doing the Bible in a year, listening to that and listening to the prayers after and praying with everyone, and really enjoy it. We had a tragedy in our family. My oldest granddaughter's mom recently passed away in Louisiana, and
hello, everyone. This is Jay from Clarksville, Tennessee. I'm calling for Christina from Oregon. Listen, sister, I have had the drinking career of a small military unit in my lifetime. But by the grace of God, through the gift of rehab and the program of AA, I have been blessed with, it'll be 2 years this September, with zero alcohol. And I say that not to brag, but I say that because I understand your struggle. I understand waking up in the morning and the muscle memory of drinking is there, going out and the thought of being excluded from what's going on is there, and just the sheer chemical desire of my body to have alcohol. To this day, it's still there. But every time that urge comes, I pray and I ask the Lord to remind me of all the pain and suffering and destroyed relationships, ended marriages, lost family, friends who hate me, from all that drinking, to come back to my mind so I don't pick up that first drink. So I'd like to pray for you, precious Lord, our Father in heaven. We bow before you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We lift up our sister, your daughter, Christina, from Oregon. Father, we lay her addiction at your feet. We do this because your word tells us that anything that we ask of you in your name, Jesus, shall be given to us. So we ask your will be done, that your power, your Holy Spirit, overcome her and strengthen her to resist the temptations of the enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Salutations, Dab family. This is His Little Songbird from Alberta, Canada. And I would like to pray for Winter and Quill. Abba, I want to lift up Winter to you today. Your word says that when we are weary, we can go to you and find our rest. And you also promise in Isaiah 10:31, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not grow faint. So I'm asking that you would please do this for your daughter, Winter. I also lift up Quill to you today. You have a wondrous and perfect plan for their life, and I thank you for sparing that precious life repeatedly. You are so, so good. I ask that daily you would continue to reach out to Quill and let them know how much they mean to you. I ask you please to release the hounds of heaven to pursue Quill until that precious person turns and cries out to you for help, Lord God. I thank you for all that you've begun to do, for everything that we can't even begin to see. Lord, you are so good. And I thank you so much that you have chosen Quill. I also ask, if you wouldn't mind, that you would pursue both my sons, who have also become part of the Alphabet community. Pursue them too, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, DADB family. This is beloved Cheryl in Tacoma, Washington, and I have an urgent prayer request. My mom is in the hospital, and they're recommending hospice. And I don't have anybody to help me, and I'm very overwhelmed. If you could just pray that I could find some Christians to help me through this process, and my mother is a Christian, and that things would just go smoothly, and she could go to be with Jesus soon. Thank you.